Okay, tonight is Monday night, November 3rd, or 11th day of the month of Mar Cheshvan. This is the Gemara Shir, Maseches Moed Katan, Gimel Amud Beis. Our good friend Moshe Wertenthal is not here. He's at the Giant game. And he teased me, offered me a ticket to the game. Not fortunately. Torah always wins out. Okay.
You can FaceTime with
him.
You can listen to the
shit. Okay, we are up to Daf Gimel Amud Beis. About 10 lines, 8 to 10, 10, 8 lines, 10 lines from the top. And the Gemara said that Rabbi Yoich, there was a debate between two Amoraic scholars about something that he had heard in Bavel, and they knew it was a question, and they knew it was a rejection, and they weren't exactly sure what it was. So Rav Dimi said that the discussion was to focus on various milachot that might be included in the Isur of Shemitah. And Rabbi Yochanan said the debate was whether or not you will be loker on Tosefes of Zman of Shemitah. Not only will you get Malkus for doing Melacha during the Shemitah year, but even what is called Tosefes Shemitah. So we discussed last week at the end of the shir the possibility, what's running through the Gemara's possibility that you can get Malkus if the source for Tosefes was, as Rabbi Yochanan stated, Mi Becharish Ubakotzir Tishbos. What was the Havamina? But now let's go into the Gemara. So we're up to about 5 lines from the top. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Yamin Shehosifu Chachamim Lefnei Rosh Hashanah. It refers to this discussion that I heard was referring to the possibility of getting Malkus on Tosefes Rosh Hashanah. Either it would be Makus Mardus, the way the Ritva said, or according to Tosefes, Makus Midoraisa, because Midoraisa you extend the 7th year into the last couple of months of the 6th year. Where does he learn it out from? The Asyami Becharishu Bakotzir Tishbos. We learn it out from Becharishu Bakotzir Tishbos. That was the question. Yochol, perhaps. Vinasiv la Talmuda liptura kidabina lamim rakaman. And this Havamina, that you would get Malkus on Tosefes Shvius, was rejected based on a drash, which the Gemara will say later on. Which drash does the Gemara say later on rejects it? It's on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. You'll take a peek for a second. Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. About 8 lines from the top. My Ta'ama. 8 lines from the top. Why would I reject this? Why would I reject it? Gomar Shabbos Mishabbos Mishabbos Bereishis. You learn out the guidelines of Tosefes for Shemitah from Shabbos Bereishis. Ma lehalon hi asura lifoneho ul achreho mutarin. Just as in relationship to Shabbos Bereishis, midda oraisa, you're not allowed to do malacha on Shabbos. But midda oraisa, you are definitely allowed to do malacha before Shabbos starts. The second before Shabbos starts, and you were allowed to do Malacha the second after Shabbos starts. There is no biblical source to which you can, after Shabbos ends. There is no biblical source to which you can identify which teaches us a mitzvah of Tosefes about Shabbos. Afkan, so too here, Shemitah, which is described and characterized as Shabbos Shabbosol Niela Aretz, he asura, the 7th year is indeed prohibited. Lifoneho ulachreho mutarin. before Shemitah and after Shemitah are permissible. In other words, there is no Tosefa Shemitah whatsoever. That's the rejection which Rashi claims the Gemara has in mind in our Gemara. If you take a look at Rashi, go back to Gimel Amid Beis. Rashi Kidibi'inon, Rashi B'dibur Amaskel, Kidibi'inon L'meimer L'kamon, Gomar Shabbos, Shabboson Mishabbos Bereshis. We learn out the rules and regulations of Shemitah from Shabbos Bereshis. Many Rishonim attack Rashi because, even though we're not going to do it now, the Gemara, in the name of Rav Ashi, rejects the argument that you're going to make up a Gzeir Shava, Shabbos Shabbosot, from Shabbos, and teach you that there is no halacha whatsoever of Tosefa Shemitah. The Gemara rejects that. Rav Ashi rejects it. Why? Because you can't make up your own Gzeir Shavas. You can't make up your own Gzeir Shava. Only can use a Gzeir Shava if you have a Kabbalah from your Rebbe. So now Rabbi Yochanan was saying, hey, in Eretz Yisrael, when I went to Bavel, this is what I heard. And they made up their own little Gzeir Shava and said that there is no Tosefa Shemitah. You can't do that. So the Gemara itself, in the name of Rashi, attacks this particular source. So why would this be the source to which Rashi would refer, which rejects the premise, perhaps you should get Malkus for Tosefa Shemitah? How's that possible? That derivation is totally rejected. The Gemara later on will say that basically Tosefa Shemitah is a halacha l'Moshe Mesinai. That's the Gemara's conclusion on Daf Dalet. So it's, you can't undo a halacha l'Moshe Mesinai based on a fabricated Gzeira Shava. So many question Rashi, why did he point us to the Gemara later when the Gemara later rejected that as the rejection of Rabbi Yochanan? Why did the Gemara reject? But anyhow, even though the Gemara did reject it, many cite this as support for the Rambam that I mentioned last week, that there is no such animal called Tosefa Shabbos. There is no such animal. You can't make Shabbos early. You can't. There is, doesn't exist. Doesn't exist. And the Gaon points to a famous Rambam in Perek Chavtes of Hilchas Shabbos Halacha Yud Aleph to confirm that there is no such possibility as Tosefa Shabbos. The Rambam writes, Yesh lo le'adam le'kadesh afal pi shelo nichnesa ha-Shabbos. The Rambam writes, Perek Chavtes Halacha Yud Aleph of Hilchas Shabbos. I should have photostated that you can recite the Kiddush early, af al pi shelo nichnesa ha-Shabbos. What does that mean, af al pi shelo nichnesa ha-Shabbos? Shabbos won't start. But you're allowed to make Kiddush before Shabbos starts. What do you mean? If you make Kiddush, by definition, that what happens, you may accept the Shabbos. So the Gaon points to that Rambam who says, apparently, there is no possibility of creating Tosefa Shabbos. Doesn't exist. Not only is no mitzvah, even if you try, it is futile to try to start to be make Tosefa Shabbos. Doesn't exist. According to the Rambam, Tosefas is limited only to Erev Yom Kippur, based on the drash of Me'erev B'sisha L'Chodesh Bo'erev, Me'erev Arerev Tishbusu Shabbat Kaim, and it only applies to Inui. Starting the Tainus early doesn't even apply to Malach on Erev Yom Kippur. So said the holy Vilna Gaon. Rab Chaim disagreed with the Gaon and pointed to another Rambam in Hilchas Shabbos where the Rambam tells us that we learned this Gemara at the end of Masechus Sukkah, which told us that in the Mikdash they would blow various tekios, and one of them was the last one was they would blow it before Shkiyas Achama, Vishoves, and you stop doing Malacha. So Reb Chaim says, why would you have to stop doing malacha if it's what for what? What's the purpose if there's no Tosef Hashavuot? Why do I have to stop? Apparently the Rambam acknowledged Tosef. May not be a mitzvah, but he acknowledged it. So that's the debate of Reb Chaim and the Gaon. But here, this Gemara seems to support at least this drash, which Rashi quotes, that there is no such thing as Tosefes, and that the Isur of Shabbos is only on Shabbos itself, on Shabbos itself. Just as an aside, because I know you're not going to be able to watch the Giant game well if you have this Rambam in mind, how do you explain, so why does the Rambam allow you to make Kiddush early? Why can you, yesh lo la adam lekadesh, the arve shabbosos, afal pi shlo nichnasa ha-shabbos? If Shabbos isn't here, why does he let you make Kiddush on Friday? Why does he? So the Rav explained this Rambam in the following fashion. There are many times when the Torah looks to create a status of a particular day, to declare a unique status of a particular day, and in order to make sure that the entirety of that day, 24 hours, has been included in that declaration, by definition, the declaration has to be made before the day arrives. Because if you're going to wait until the day arrives to make that declaration, a couple of seconds or a couple of minutes of that day will not have yet been declared as what? As that unique day. So the Rambam, I'll give you the example which the Rav always cited, why we count the Omer before Sfiras Omer, before Shkia Sechab, or before Tzeis, certainly before Tzeis, and Tosis even allows after Plag HaMincha. Why? Why do we do it? It's a mitzvah to do so. Why? Even though the Mechaba says you should wait until Tzeis, because the Rav felt that in order that a day shall be temimot, a fully counted day, the declaration has to come before the arrival of the day. So that when the day begins, you now have announced, heralded it as a specially counted day. So too, the Ravid is of the opinion that when the Mishnah says at the beginning of Maseches Pesachim, or La'arba Asar, which the Gemara immediately translates as night, or La'arba Asar, both kines achametz, says the Ravid, the Mishnah knew very well how to say the word Laila, knew how to say it. So even though it's Lashon Nekiya, you know, forget about Lashon Nekiya. Says the Ravid, well, why did the Gemara say, why did the Mishnah say or? Because it wants you to make the Bedika before Tzeis HaKachavim. So that when Tzeis comes, your house has been granted a certain status called Bayis Baduk. My house is a searched house. Don't ask me why you have to make declaration. That's a Gemara Pesach. But this principle has been used many a time. So therefore, the Rambam, in order to declare that the Yom HaShabbos is indeed Shabbos on Mikra Kodesh and so on and so forth, you make the declaration beforehand, right beforehand. And you make Havdalah during Shabbat. The Rambam says, V'yesh lo lahavdil, afa pi shelo yatzah HaShabbos. You can make Havdalah too. Because you make that declaration, Shabbos is over when it's over, and that's it. Very
nice. Does that defeat the purpose? In other words, you're cutting off, it's almost like you're cutting off Shabbos.
No, it makes the right. It makes the announcement that when Shabbos is over, not a half a second later, Shabbos is over. So as soon as the Matzah Shabbos comes, it's already Hamavdah Ben Kodesh L'chol. Because if you delay the Havdalah, you generate the impression that what are you doing? You're extending the Shabbos. You can't extend the Shabbos.
And
can't.
And how much before Shabbos can you make Kiddush according to the Rambam?
After Plag HaMincha. After Plag.
But why?
Because it's got to be somehow a possible connecting it to the next day. If at 3 in the morning, it's at 5.
It shouldn't be right before, according to this reasoning.
Okay, but he gives some latitude. After Plag HaMincha.
It shouldn't be Yachol, it should be Tzarech.
What?
It shouldn't be Yachol, it should be Tzarech.
Okay, you could have said that. That's true.
You
don't. You don't. You make Havdalah without an heir. That's correct. You make an Havdalah without an heir. Okay. So now the Gemara is going to try to identify the source besides Becharish Shebakotzi Tishbos, and when does Tosefes Shemitah start? So I told you as a Dover Pashut, when does Tosefes Shemitah start? Rosh Chodesh El. That's going to come at the end. That's not going to be the opinions which we will learn tonight. Opinions which we learn tonight start much earlier than Rosh Chodesh Elul of the sixth year. Let's see it right now. Says the Gemara, "My Yomim Shelifnei Rosh Hashanah." What are those days which you are not permitted to engage in Malacha during the sixth year? Kiddushan, as we look, it's the first Mishnah in Maseches Shviyas. Ad Masai Chorshin Bisdei Ilan Erev Shviyas. Till when are you permitted to plow a field which contains trees on Erev Shviyas? Beishamay Omrim Kolzman Shiyafo Lepri. Sometimes a little plowing, again, ich bin nicht kempayer, so I can't tell you why, but when fruits are growing, apparently if you plow a little, it has some beneficial impact on the tree's fruit development. Okay, you'll check it out tomorrow night in your Encyclopedia Judaica or the Britannica. Why does plowing help for trees, for fruits to grow? It's zelo ole aladat. Logically, a little city people like us can't figure out why would plowing a field make the tree grow, make a fruit grow better. I can't explain. Anybody have any explanation how it works? What?
It hurts the soil and the roots.
Okay, excellent. There you go. Excellent. How's the professor? That's what you need for. Ubeis. So as long as people will still plow for fruits that are already growing the sixth year, you're allowed to plow during the sixth year. But if the plowing is no longer beneficial for the fruits that are growing during the sixth year, that automatically is identified as plowing in anticipation of the seventh year, and that would be prohibited even during the sixth year. Ubeis Hillel Omrim Ad Ha'atzeres. Beis Hillel says, it's till Shavuos time. Ad Ha'atzeres, until Shavuos. Ukrovin divrei elu lios kedivrei elu. And the gap is not terribly big between Shammai and Hillel. Between Shammai and Hillel, the gap is not terribly big. So if we read this just the way it reads, whose time do you think is earlier, Hillel's or Shammai's?
Which Atzeres are we talking about?
Atzeres is Shavuos.
But previous?
In the sixth year. In the sixth year, of course.
Sounds like Shammai is earlier.
What?
Sounds like Shammai is earlier.
Is earlier. Okay. So take a look at Rashi. And take a look at Tosfos. Tosfos says it clearly. Tosfos b'dibur ha'maskal ad Atzeres. Ad Atzeres. Dahainu Yoser. That means it's a longer period of time when you're what? Not allowed to plow. The bechol makom beishamai lechumra ve'ubeis hillel lekula. Excuse me. Just like you said, the stop. Tosfos interprets it like we normally do, that Shammai is the mekel. Excuse me, the machmir, and Hillel is the mekel. So Hillel says that you're allowed to do Ad Atzeres. That's a leniency, only even until Atzeres. According to Shammai, if people stop plowing for the benefit of a tree 2 weeks before Shavuos, you have to stop 2 weeks before Shavuos. Hillel says you don't have to stop 2 weeks before, even if you don't plow any longer to enable the fruits to grow better, you're still allowed to do it until Shavuos time. That's what Tosfos learns. The way our perception is what? That Shammai is the machmir and Hillel is the mekel. However, the Tosfos HaRosh says, the Yerushalmi says, black on blue, just the opposite. Take your sheets, please. can go. Plenty of sheets. Anybody who doesn't have a sheet, got plenty of sheets. There you go, Henry. So the Mishnah, as you well know, there are no differences in the Mishnahs in the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. So the Mishnah which we just read is the first Mishnah, Perek Aleph of Maseches Shviyos. And Daf Beis Omud Aleph in the Yerushalmi at the end of Halacha Aleph asks the following question, which I bracketed. V'lomo lo tinituhu mikulei beis shamayu mechumrei beis hillel. There is a Mishnah in Masechet Ediyot that lists all of the cases where Shammai is the Mekil and Hillel is the Machmir. There aren't many. Asks the Yerushalmi, if in our case Hillel is the Machmir, that you can't do it until Shavuos, and that's it. And Shammai is the Mekil. Because what happens if 3 weeks after Shavuos, you what? You would normally plow because there are a couple of apples hanging there, Shammai will allow. Asks the Yerushalmi, why don't we include this Mishnah amongst the list of Kulei Beis Shammai, Chumrei Beis Hillel? So the fact that the Yerushalmi asks the question, obviously it understood the Mishnah not the way Tosfos understood it. Not the way Tosfos understood it. And that's not terrible shock, because the Balei HaTosfos didn't always see the Yerushalmi, the relevant Yerushalmi. They didn't always have Yerushalmi accessible. Sometimes they did. Not all the Balei HaTosfos did. So it's not terribly shocking. But the Tosfos HaRosh, who obviously did see it, says, how does Tosfos make it? It's black and white, Yerushalmi. They understood it differently. Listen to the Gemara's answer. Pe'amim she'ein hagishami mitsuya ve'ein halecha mitsuya. What happens if it's a particularly what? Dry season. And if it's a particularly dry season, moisture is not going to, by plowing around, what's going to happen? It's not going to let you, it's not going to help the trees at all. V'hu osid lacharosh kodim la'atzeres k'divrei Beis Shammai u'beis hillel oimim ad atzeres. So sometimes what happens, Shammai could be what? More machmir than Hillel. Sometimes could be more machmir than Hillel. Because he depends on what? The physical state of the environment. If it's raining, if there's moisture, so on and so forth. So the Mishnah in Ediyot only lists the cases where Shammai is always the maker, not contingent to anything else, not contingent upon anything else. That's the only time that Hillel, that the Mishnah quotes it. If you have a case where Shammai and Hillel might flip whether they are the Machmir or the Shmekel, under those circumstances, the Mishnah in Ediyot does not list it. But the Gemara doesn't backtrack. It actually believes that the simple pshat is that Shammai is the Mekel and Hillel is the Machmir. Hillel is the Machmir. But just be aware that the Tosfos HaRosh disagrees and claims that based on the Yerushalmi, that it's not the case. Yeah. It's a fascinating, there have been many theories trying to understand patterns of machloikis between Shammai and Hillel. Is there any pattern or consistency to the machloikis between Shammai and Hillel? So I'll just give you one. I once mentioned the drasha many years ago, that Shammai presents the halacha the way it ought to be. In the theoretical construct, if you ask Shammai, if you ask this question, in a purely spiritual world, Shammai would say this is the halacha and it has to be that way in the practical world as well. And Hillel says, you know what, you might be right in the spiritual world, but down here on this earth, you have to be a little practically oriented. I'll give you two or three illustrations. One very well-known theory. Take the Mishnah in Chagiga. You have to bring two korbanot every single Yom Tov. Olak Re'iyah and a Shalmei Chagiga. What happens to the Olak Re'iyah? It's burnt completely on the Mizbeach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What happens to the Shalmei Chagiga? It's eaten by your family. Here is the case. Somebody only has $300. One behemoth costs $200. The other behemoth costs $100. Which one should be allocated as the Korban Re'iyah and which one is the Korban Chagiga? Says Shammai, of course. Mana, the Masayim goes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Oy lasui, you have a decision to make. Do I give a bigger present to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than to my... What's the HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And Hillel says, looking around this family with 12 kids, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can suffice with a smaller korban and take the double size animal and feed it to your family. Hillel says, the 200 goes on the Chagiga and the mana, the 100 goes on the... And there are kama v'kama such ideas. The machlokes in Shammai and Hillel, whether Noach lo le'adam would have been better for man to have been created. So Shammai says, Noach lo shelo nivra. Why? We're disasters, we transgress, so we don't know what we're doing. It would have been better for man not to be created. And Hillel says, yeah, in the theoretical world, maybe, but Lamai said it wouldn't be much of a world if you didn't have people here. So he says, yeah, of course you should be better. Okay, you fashbesh b'masav, you should do tshuva, examine yourself. But that's no reason not to say, the machlokes in Shammai and Hillel, what comes first, Bar Pri HaGafen or the Brach on the Yoyim, Mikadesh HaShabbos? Shammai says, Mevorach al HaYoyim, first you acknowledge HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Yom HaShabbos, and then you worry about your little wine, Bar Pri HaGafen. And Hillel says, sometimes to advance somebody's spirit, to recognize and appreciate Shabbos and Yom Tov, what do you need? A little wine. So the wine, first you make the bracha Bar Pri HaGafen, and then what do you do? Then you can perhaps appreciate the matzah of a Simchas Yadav. But it's one of those theories which you should be aware of. Fine, very nice. That's for a field that grows fruits. The Admasai, says the Gemara. Back to the Gemara. Chorshin Sdei Halavan. Until when can you plow a field of grain? Erev Shvius. Mishetich lahalecha, v'chol zman shebnei adam chorshin lita makshaos umadlaos. As long as there is some lecha, moisture in the ground, and many drop the vav, and it's all one time, chol zman, what would be the symbol? As long as there is sufficient time to plant some vegetables. Mashkaot and madlaot are various vegetables. What are they?
Squash
and gourd. Okay. They grow in 30 days. So even after Shavuos, which the Torah designates as what? Chag HaKatzir. Shavuos is designated as Chag HaKatzir. So even though it's after the Chag HaKatzir of the grain, you still will plant vegetables because they grow rather quickly. So if you grow vegetables for the son of Shishis, you're allowed to plant and plow to grow a tomato. But if there is no longer a time to what? To grow vegetables, and why is there no time to grow vegetables? Because there's not enough moisture in the ground? Under those circumstances, the Isur of plowing would take place in the sixth year because it's indicative of the fact that what? That you are now plowing on behalf of the seventh year, which is Asur based on Tosefet Shemitah. Asur based on Tosefet Shemitah. There are many who believe that the Gemara is stipulating this time of when people plant vegetables, and this is stated stipulated specifically in a very famous commentary on the Mishnah. It's called the Mishnah Rishayna in Masechah Shvius. He says, even if you don't plow for the purpose of the vegetables, and you're doing it for grain, which is for next year, for the second, you're still allowed to do it. Why? Because no one will ever know that you're doing it for what? Plowing for the grain. Why? Because everybody will say, "Hey, why is he plowing?" Because it's still vegetable season. So the Mishnah Rishonah says that in a situation whereby the Maris Ayin is not going to identify you as what? As a sinner, you are allowed to plow, even if it meant plowing on behalf of the grain of the Shana Shvius, because people are still plowing for the production of vegetables, which is a very unusual halakha. I would have said that the fact that somebody else is going to be, not going to be, just the opposite, a bandukav schus, because somebody's going to down the kafschus, it's going to say, I said tzaddik, he's doing it for the right reasons, I'm not allowed to do it, because I'm doing it for the wrong reason. So this commentary on the Mishnah says that since the emphasis here is kol zaman, as long as, doesn't say as long as you're doing it, it says kol zaman shebinei adam, as long as people are doing it for the purpose of what? Vegetables. Even if it's not your intention to do so, you are permitted to do so. You are permitted to do so. And that's...
If you're doing it past that time, even if it's for last year's fruit, you still should not be able to do it.
This is not fruit, this is grain.
I'm saying, if you're not doing it for the seventh year, if you're doing it past the time that everyone else does, it still would not be good.
That's correct. No, the Gemara doesn't know that yet. The Gemara doesn't know that. That's going to be Rav Shimon's objection. Rav Shimon's objection is that everybody here has their own set of halakhas. I plan on doing it until then, you plan on doing it 6 weeks later. Where do we ever see that the Isur of any halakha depends on what? On you and me personally? That's Rav Shimon's next question. Rav Shimon Omer, Im Kein Nosna, the more common phrase is Nasata Devarecha L'Shiurin. That's the way the Gemara normally objects. You can't have a criteria of Isur that the Isur of Tosefa Shemitah depends on what you're planning on growing. Either it's Asur or it's Mutter. One of the two. You can't have different deadlines, different dates for different people. Can't. Ella, therefore Rabbi Shimon disagrees with Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, and he says, Ella, what does he say? Ella, b'sdei lavan ad ha-pesach u'b'sdei ha'ilon ad ha-tzeres. A field that is normally used for grain, which after Pesach is no longer plowed. The plowing for the grain always takes place before Pesach. So such a field may not be plowed after Pesach of Shana Shishis. That's 6 months before the arrival of Shemitah. And a field which is done for Steha Ilan, a fruit-bearing field, there you're allowed to do it to Shavuos. But it has nothing to do with individual practices, nothing to do with how much moisture is, what your intention is, vegetables. It's usur, a fixed given time, and that's it. A fixed given time, and that's it. Yeah. That's what Rav Shimon says.
So I believe
it was
for trees, and the other is for grain, but there's nothing about vegetables in this particular thing.
That is correct. That's correct. What do you do about vegetables?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a good question. Don't know. Yeah. And in fact, many ask the question, why did Rabbi Shimon only pipe up his question on Stei Lavan? Why didn't he pipe up 5 seconds ago, according to Hillel and Shammai, who discussed the machlokes about Stei Ilan? And what were the two times according? Kol Zeman Shiyafa Lepri. So if I have a tree in my backyard that's growing peaches, and the harish is good for my peaches, I'm allowed to do it. You don't have a peach tree growing, you're not allowed to do it. Why didn't the Gemara ask, according to whom? According to Shammai. Why didn't Shimon attack Shammai in his previous statement? Why did he only attack the second opinion, which discussed Stei Ho'ilan? Which is agreed upon by all, not subject to the Machlokes Hillel and Shammai. So some answer this question, why didn't Rabbi Shimon object? He could have objected. However, there is a well-known phrase, and it's hard for me to explain it. Divrei Beis Shammai, B'makom Beis Hillel, Eino Mishneh. It means that the Beis Hillel opinion have been so widely accepted as dominant in the halachic theories and halachic world that you don't even bother to what? To try to understand Shammai's opinion. Don't even bother. Why? It's going to be rejected in any event. So that's not the way we normally train people to learn, to say, you know what, their halacha is being rejected, you don't have to bother understanding it. But some Rishonim answer, why didn't Rabbi Shimon object to the lack of uniformity by Stei Ilan, which was subject to a machloikas between Shammai and Hillel, and say that according to Shammai, it's much too subjective. Especially if Shammai is the Mekel. Especially if Shammai is the Mekel. We're going to allow a kula based on what? Your own personal habits? We never do that. Answers the Gemara, answer these Rishonim, Divrei Beis Shammai, B'makom Beis Hillel, Eino Mishneh, are not to be treated with as much severity or analysis because they're going to be rejected lahalach in any event. And as a result, you can live without the kasha. I'm just telling you that's what's said. Just telling you that's said. Not that I fully subscribe to it or understand it. Yes. What? No, but the Gemara quotes Rabbi Shimon's objection. Why didn't if Rabbi Shimon saw this, which he obviously did, he saw this Mishnah, why didn't he argue with them?
It's possible that he asked a question between Shammai, but the Olech HaGemara didn't.
Maybe. Okay, that would be an easy way to say that he did say it, yeah.
I mean, does the language maybe separate the two? Does some Rishonim answer that? The way Shammai's phrase seems to be like there's a general understanding of that. At a certain point, it's no longer Yafel Lepri. It's no longer good anymore. And that's kind of universally held.
It's the next Mishnah.
Kind of everybody does.
It's the end of it's the same Mishnah. Or the next Mishnah. It's right next to each other.
Right, but I'm saying that one is more categorically, like it sounds like it's a more universal thing. Whereas the other one says Shebnei Adam, where he's really separating amongst the different people. Certain people might be planning the best for the ground, but everyone sort of
maybe.
Everyone knows at the same time, hey, when we're no longer getting this rain, it's no longer up.
Okay.
It's okay. More universal. Is
that okay. It's possible. Possible. I'm not going to go crazy about it because it's you know, for Nazar Kasha. Okay. Listen to the next two lines. For Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Mishum bar Kapara, Ram Gamliel ubeis dinai, Nimnu al shnei prakim halalu ubitlum. Ram Gamliel and his bezdin started to have a little vote one day, and they decided, who cares what Hillel and Shammai said? We cancel their prohibitions, and we allow you to plant until Rosh Hashanah. We allow to plow until Rosh Hashanah. And there are no prohibitions of Tosefa Shemitah. So said Rab Shimon ben Pazi, Neim Rosh Hashim Kapara, the Ram Gamliel Ubeis Dino, Nimnu al Shnei Prakim Alolu, on these two designated times for Stei Ilan and Stei Lavan, Ubitlo, and they cancelled it. Asks the Gemara the question that's percolating in your minds, I hope. Ask the Gemara. Amar le Rabbi Zeira le Rabbi Yehu, v'amri le Reish Lakish le Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Gamliel ubeis dinai, heichi matzil mivatle takanta de Beis Shammai ubeis Hillel. How could they simply cancel a halacha created by Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? For Hatanan, we learned in the Mishnah, Ein bezdin yachal levato divrei bezdin chaveiroi. Ela im kein gadol mimenu bechachma ubeminyin. You cannot override a previous bezdin unless you are greater bechachma ubeminyin. So let's take a few minutes to understand this Gemara's question. Under what circumstances is a subsequent bezdin allowed to disagree? And under what best conditions are they not? And how do you determine whether the second is greater b'chachma? How do you determine whether b'chachma b'minyan? How do you determine that? So take the next page of the handout. Page 2, 3, and 4 is the Rambam and Hilchos Mamrim, where the Rambam is the standard bearer for this particular halacha. Perek Beis of Hilchos Mamrim, halacha Aleph through Dalet. Says the Holy Rambam, Bezdin Gadol Shidorshu Be'achas Min Hamidos Kifi Ma Shenira Be'enehem Shehadin Kach V'danu Din. A Bezdin that has used one of the Midos Shatar in the Grashas. They used to say Shava, Akal V'chaymer, whatever it is. And they made the halacha based on that. The Oman Achrayim Bezdin Acher, and another Bezdin came and said, V'niralo Tam Acher, and they came to their conclusion a different thing, Listoroso, to contradict it completely. Harezes Soser V'don Kefishim Anishir Ve'enav. They have a right, the second Bezdin does, to interpret the Pasuk as they see fit. Shine Emar El Hashofet Ashehiyeh Bayom Mahein Eincha Chayav Lelechet Elach Achar Beitin Shebidorecha. You have a responsibility only to follow the Bezdin in your generation. So I'll give you an illustration. Something that bothers me. That bothers me, which is subject to change according to the Rambam. There is a Pasuk in Parsha Shoftim, which describes two individuals have a quarrel. Kiyeh lohem riv ekwaro. Here's what the pasuk says. Va'amdu shnei ha'anashim asher lohem hariv lifnei Hashem. The two people shall be in the bezdin, and bezdin will make the decision. What is the simple shot of the word shnei ha'anashim? Who is it referring to? Shnei ha'anashim asher lohem hariv. Who is it talking about? Who are the two people? The two litigants. Exactly, the Tovei and the Nitva. Can the Tovei and the Nitva be a woman?
Yes.
Of course. A woman can sue in Bezdin, and a woman can be sued in Bezdin. Okay? Well, some Bezdin decided to compare the word Anashim, as appears here, and claim that what? That it's not talking about what? The litigants. We're talking about what? The witnesses who have to stand and say women can't testify, can't be a witness. That's the basis. Because they found another pasuk where the word anashim must have meant what? Men and not women. Where? By the Meraglim. Nobody would have thought that Moshe Rabbeinu would what? Send women as spies. That would be lo mistaber. So the pasuk says nishlecha anashim lefaneinu, means men. Here also it means men. The pasuk is not talking about witnesses. We're going to say it's talking about witnesses. So emir tzah Hashem, I hope the day we have a bezdin, the bezdin will say, I think there's a different shot in the pasuk, and they say that this particular pasuk refers. Kipshuta shel mikra means to the litigants, and we're going to eliminate the drash that women can't testify. That's an illustration. Or any gzeirah shava. Any gzeirah shava. Right? If it's pouring the first night of Sukkot, it's pouring. What do we have to do? We have to follow the Rambam. It says you wait until 12 o'clock to make Kiddush. Because he made this gzeirah shava, tesvav, tesvav. Somebody else is going to come and say, that's not what Tezvav Tezvav means. That you have to stay up till 12 o'clock at night in the middle of the rain. No. He'll override that halacha. That's the prerogative of Bezdin. So the halacha that you require Bezdin Gadol Chaver doesn't apply to anything that is used in the context of interpreting the text. Says Rambam Halacha Beis. Bezdin Shigazru Gzeira. If you have a Bezdin that made a decree, O Tiknu Takana, made a Takana, V'en Higu Minha, and they established a practice, U'pashat Hadava B'chol Yisrael, and now that particular practice in Takana has become well-established, well-rooted in Klal Yisrael, V'amar Akreim Bezdin Acher U'bikesh Levatel Dvarim Arishonim V'la'akor Oso HaTakana V'Oso HaGzera V'Oso HaMinhag Eino Yachol Ad Shiyeh Gadol Nimenu B'Chaveroi. Where is it? Page 3. Even if the reason which the original Bezdin used to establish the Takana is no longer operative, it's no longer meaningful. O Hiskinu, Ein Ho Acharonim Yecholim Levatel Achi Gidol Mehen. Veheich Yu Gidol Mehen. How is it possible that a Bezdin should be greater? The Bezdin's number is fixed. How many is it? 71. So how can you have a Gadol Mimenu Beminyan? Answers the Rambam, Hoil v'chol bezdin u'bezdin shelo shivu ve'achadu. Answers the Rambam, Zeminyan chachme hador shehiskimu v'kiblu hadavar she'amru bezdin hagadol v'lo chilku bo. So whenever you have a takana of bezdin, and the majority of scholars, probably of Eretz Yisrael, didn't reject that takana at the time, that means what? It's in force. But the minute the majority of the scholars of Eretz Yisrael at that time say, you know what, this takana made 50 years ago is no longer to our liking, under those circumstances that's considered gadol mimenu b'minyan, and they have a right to override. Who now is going to be included in the minyan to be asked? That you can ask the Rambam, and they'll kill people. Will kill each other to determine. Ich bin echet achacham. Why am I my day and not been included? How do you make that determination? Veisachnish. I don't know how you make that determination. And the Rambam never actually said, how do you evaluate gadol mimenu b'chacham? All he addressed was Gadol Mimenu B'Minyan. So how do you evaluate whether it's Gadol Mimenu B'Chachma, and who makes that determination? Whether it's Gadol Mimenu B'Chachma. Who's going to make that determination? Somebody's going to go and give a gabchina to the members of the Sanhedrin. Well, let me ask you, you know this k'sais? You know this k'sais? Oh, you don't know this k'sais? You're not Maris. You know? How do they evaluate this? There is such a paucity of discussion in Rishonim, it's just unbelievable. How do you determine Gadol Mimenu B'Chachma? So the simple reading, most Rishonim say that the Av Bezdin of the previous generation is not as great in Chachma as the Av Bezdin of the next generation that wants to do it. How do they determine that? How are you going to determine that? Just imagine today, Rob. Let's imagine today. Let's assume, for argument's sake, the Chazon Ish said that he made a takana. Okay? Rav Moshe wants to disagree. Who's going to give Rav Moshe b'china? And the Chazon Ish, who's going to give him a chav? Chazon Ish or Rav Moshe? How does they make that determination? It's just mind-boggling how anybody comes to that conclusion. Don't know. The Bar Tanura in Maseches Horios, where this Gemara is initially quoted, says, you know what Gadol Mimena B'Minyan means? The numbers of judges in the Sanhedrin. So everybody asks, what do you mean the number of judges? You can have only up to 71. Ah, however, as you well know, in addition to the 71, all of the members of the Sanhedrin had students who were sitting there in the yeshiva. And they were seated according to their intellectual ability. The guys who asked the good kasha, they sat in the front row on the right. You ask the klutz kasha, you sit all the way in the back on the left-hand side. And you move your way up. So if the Bezdin has more tum, now, and that's how they used to fill a post. Let's say somebody retired from the Sanhedrin. Somebody died. Or somebody had to disqualify himself as a member of the Sanhedrin. For example, Shmaya and Avtalia. According to many, Shmaya and Avtalia were Gerim. They were Gerim. How can a Ger handle, a Ger is not allowed to judge certain cases. Not allowed to go. Mikerev Achecha, says the Pasuk. Not a Ger. You need somebody's Imay Mi Yisrael. So the Rav always said that for the position of Av Bezdin and Nasi, which these two people are, the Zugos and the Mishnah, you take the biggest Talmid of Chachamim. Shmaya and Avtalia were. But what happened? He disqualified himself when it came to what? To a vote. Because he couldn't vote. So who would sit in on his stead when it came to a vote? Who would sit in? One of the Talmidim. Okay, you're on a member of the Sanhedrin for the day. You vote. Same thing the Rav has said. How did you explain Rabbi Yehuda's opinion in Masecha Sanhedrin, Daf Beis Amud Aleph, that how many members of the Sanhedrin were there? How many? 70. 70. Only 70. So what did Chachamim say? How can you have Bezin Shakur? So what did they say? 70 and what?
One.
Who was the one?
Moshe
Rabbeinu. Good. So everybody asks Akash. We're all sitting in this great Bezin. Moshe Rabbeinu is seated right here. Who's going to argue with Moshe Rabbeinu? How can anybody say, Moshe, you're wrong? He heard it from the Rabbeinu Shalom. How can he say he's wrong? So the Rav said, Moshe Rabbeinu had to disqualify himself for every vote. He presented his logic, which the other Talmidei Chachamim have a right to disagree on the Bezin. Aaron and Elazar could say, Moshe Rabbeinu, we think a little differently. But they couldn't paskin against Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe disqualified himself as a member of the Bezdin, and some other student of one of the other people there was put on. Okay, now we take a vote. So here too, according to the Bartanura, Minyan was determined by the number of potential members of the Sanhedrin. Maybe a guy's in the front row, maybe the second row, who knows what criteria they used. But it's actually a very difficult halacha to objectively define that something should be men. Gadol Mimon B'Chachma is even more difficult, and B'Minyan is even all the Chachmei Hador. How are you going to poll all the Chachmei Hador? It's very difficult. That was the difficulty which they had when they wanted to renew the Smicha in the time of the Beis Yosef. That was the problem. You all know the Rambam's famous sheet in Hilchos Sanhedrin. In the absence of a Samuch, you can't grant Smicha. Only a Samuch can grant Smicha. Well, the last Samuch was brutally murdered by the Romans in the 3rd century. So we don't have Smicha today. We don't have any real Smicha. So how do you renew the Sanhedrin without Smicha? So everybody's got to wait for Eliyahu HaNavi, he'll make another. The Rambam says, Yera Eli, it appears to me, he has no source for it whatsoever. Yera Eli, that if all the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael vote and designate one person as a Samuch, he is a Samuch and he can appoint 70 others. So three times in Jewish history, they tried to reestablish the Sanhedrin based on this idea. The first time was in the 1500s with Rabbi Yosef Karo. Rabbi Yosef Karo, the author of the Shulchan Aruch, the Kesef Mishneh, was proposed to be the Samuch. And he almost had the vote. At the last minute, Rabbanei Yerushalayim backed out somebody from Tzfat is going to be the Rav HaRashi? From Tzfat, he's going to be the Samach? What, are you ripped? From Tzfat? It's got to be one of the Rabbani Yerushalayim. So they didn't want to vote. They didn't want to vote. The whole proposal caved in. In 1950, Rav Maimon, who was a member of the Knesset, proposed the reestablishment of the Sanhedrin. And it probably would have been the Chazoinish or the Briskerov or somebody. I would imagine the Chazoinish it would have been. Most Chachmer, it's just over to say, the Briskerov opposed it. He was opposed to the Kriya. I don't know why, but he opposed it. And he was opposed to Heichal Shlomo, to the best and everything. But it, had they done it in 1950, I would imagine at that time the Chazoinish probably would have been the Samuch, and he would appoint everybody else. But here is the difference. If he has the power and you're not one of the 70, your base of power disappears. Disappears. You can't render halakhic decisions anymore. So imagine if the Blujever Rebbe was left off, or the Lubavitcher Rebbe, or Rav Moshe was left off, because the Chazoinish didn't like him. So, can you imagine what kind of Talarama would have been? But anyhow, it was tried. So that's how they identified consensus of Chachmei Yisrael, and that comes from this Rambam here as well, to determine Gadol Mimenu Abaminyan. So the Gemara asked the question.
What was the third one?
What?
The third one
was in the 18th century, Rabbeinu Yaakov ben something. Forgot his last name. It was in the 18th century, in the 1700s. They tried to reinstitute the Sanhedrin also again in Poland. I forgot his name. Rabbeinu Yaakov something, who was the initial designee, got a lot of support, and then at the last minute again, somebody said, no, we'd like somebody else. So therefore the Gemara says, how can you suddenly stam get rid of Rav Gamliel, Rav Hillel and Shammai's Takana? Ishtomein b'chadasha. He thought about it. That was a pretty good question. He was a little perplexed. Amalei emur kach hisnu b'nei. Apparently, what happened? Hillel and Shammai said, included in his little takana, anybody who wants to disagree with us can disagree with us. That's a very easy way out. Answer the kasha by saying there was no kasha. Why? Hillel and Shammai contained a little proviso, we're establishing the guidelines of Tosefa Shemitah, based on when, you know. Anybody wants to disagree, could disagree. Okay, Rabbi Gamliel came, took advantage and decided to disagree. So that's where the Gemara is right now, thinking that Shammai and Hillel are the basis. Hillel, Rabbi Gamliel is mevatel, the halacha of what? Of Tosefa Shemitah. We'll continue next the vach. The Gemara will say, what do you mean? It's halacha l'moshe m'sinai. It's halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Ain't Hillel or Shammai or anybody else can say, disagree with the halacha l'moshe. We'll see that. We'll continue next the vach. Yeah.